Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm playing an interview with alto sax player Frank Ascone. Frank's story is charming, as it begins when he's 4 years old and was taken to see the Louis Prima Band. Listen to Frank tell that story and others, and listen to him play. It is well worth hearing. So hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can.
Show is about being the person you really are. And I interview people who make their living or their life with an art, because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. And I hope be inspired to ask yourself, is this how I feel about my life? And if it's not, and you want to talk to me about that, you can reach me at my website, thelynnshow.com. Today, my interview, as I said, is with musician Frank Ascone. This is a lovely story, and I'm not going to say much more about it because here now is Frank Ascone. I'm here with Frank Ascone, who is a brilliant musician and who plays the alto sax.
Alto sax.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm explaining to Frank that I interview people who make their living or their life with an art, which is clearly something that you have done.
Yes, in a number of ways as far as art goes. Art, music art, and
yes,
also graphic art. Yeah, I'm a graphic designer.
I only ask one question. Can you tell me the very first time in your life when you were drawn to, interested in, compelled by either art or music?
I was 4 years old.
Yes.
And my mother and my aunt took me to Radio City Music Hall. Sitting there in the first row of the balcony. And who comes out but the Louis Prima Big Band. He came out in a white suit. Dapper as can be.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts playing this music that has this shuffle beat. It's a... And it was so electric. I just couldn't stop looking and listening to what he was playing, you know, and Sam Butera was there, plays tenor sax. I said, wow, this guy is great. The whole band thing is great. I never saw anything in this in my short life.
So had you listened to music before? Did they play it in the house? No?
My mother played piano.
Uh-huh.
And she played mostly Italian songs. That's about all I heard from then.
Right.
So from there, you know, I said, oh, this is what I have to do. I have to do this.
You knew it at four.
At four.
Yeah, right.
I knew. I said, this is just fantastic. How can I get that white suit?
That's great. Yeah. It was a package deal for you, right?
You can see that when I show up, you know, to play.
Yes, right.
I still have that. Yes. With me. I have to be very well dressed.
Yes, you are. You always are, right.
And I'm always on.
Yes.
I said, this is great, you know. So it was just so electric.
Okay, so did you say to your mother, I have to have this, or you never said a word or something?
No, I never said that, but what I did find myself doing was, this sounds silly, I guess, maybe. I taught myself how to tap dance.
It doesn't sound silly.
So I used to tap dance at home to the music on the radio.
How did you know about tap dancing?
From the movies, Fred Astaire. He was also a drummer.
Oh, it makes so much sense, of course.
So it's a lot of rhythm.
Right.
I have a lot of rhythm.
Yeah.
And I just took up playing, you know, fooling around tap dancing.
Yeah.
Up until what age? I guess maybe 8 or 9, you know.
Did your family notice this at all? Did they comment?
I think so, because by age 10... my parents said, would you like to play, because I'm Italian descent, would you like to play the accordion?
I'm sorry.
So I said, no, I don't think so. So my mother said, well, when you come upon an instrument that you think that you might like to play, we'll see whether we can afford to do that. I said, okay.
That was very nice.
Yeah, you know. Time passed a little while, and I saw on TV Jimmy Dorsey playing the clarinet. I said, oh, I think I'd like that. You know, so I told my parents. And for my 11th birthday, which was a surprise, they got me a clarinet.
Wow.
Now, this was 1951.
Wow.
And they spent $200 on a clarinet. And
wow.
Yeah, well, in those days, that was a lot of money.
Yeah.
And to take a chance
on
giving a kid a $200 instrument, you know, to see that maybe he'll play it.
Yeah.
You know, but it was like magic. I just loved it, you know. After the second lesson, I was able to play Anchors Away, the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness.
And my teacher said, this kid really picked it up easily, you know. And by the time I was 12... I was playing performances with a clarinet quartet. You know?
And you loved it.
Oh, it was like my life.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that's where I really excelled, you know. And on my 13th birthday, oh boy, this is going to be a long... my parents gave me a saxophone for graduation. They knew that it was a progression from going from clarinet to saxophone. So it's so similar. In fact, it's easier because... with a clarinet, you have holes to cover, and the saxophone is just a pad key, and you just press it down, and the pad closes the hole. So it came to me so naturally. It was easy. I took lessons, of course.
Okay, so at some point, were you thinking, I'd like to do this for my life or a career? Did you think about it in those terms?
I think by the time I was 16, I thought about it, and went up in the Catskills. And played in a Jewish hotel. So a friend of mine got me into a band, and we had piano, bass, and drums, and saxophone, and we played all the standards,
mm-hmm.
a couple of Jewish tunes,
mm-hmm.
you know. And the old people loved us because we were the young kids, and
right.
It was nice. And we played the whole summer there. But it was the greatest time of my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you are thinking then.
So I'm thinking about doing that. I said, wow, this is pretty good. I can make some money at this.
Yes. You know? For a young kid, you were probably making more money than most of your kids you knew.
Oh, well, most of the kids I knew weren't making
any money. Any money, right. Right, exactly.
And I was playing with a band. And
right.
And playing a job here and a job there. And
right,
a job.
Right.
I guess by the time I was like 18 or 19, I met some guys and we were doing local jobs.
In New York.
New York and New Jersey area. Mm-hmm. And we were working pretty much on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, this is pretty good. But it wasn't steady.
No, it's not.
It wasn't steady. And I like money, you know.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, so,
I mean,
right.
If you're going to build a future on a steady income, you have to have a steady job.
Yes. Were you thinking, should I go to college? Should I not go to college? Should I study something
else?
I never had
the grades to go to college. That's what hurt my grades at school. I was doing more in the music than it was in my grades at school.
Right.
So I graduate high school, and now I go into the city, into Manhattan, to take a piddly job with a bank doing, you know, what, you know?
Steady and terrible.
Steady and terrible, right, exactly. So then what I did, I was doing that, and like you said, it was boring. And my parents said, well, Francis, why don't you go to art school, because your friend is going to art school, good friend. I said, you know, I never thought of that. So I called my friend. I said, hey, Gary, I said, can I sit in on a class? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, sure. So we went into the city, School of Visual Arts in Manhattan, and I said, wow, these are my kind of people.
Yet again, unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like, wow, this is cool. Everybody likes to draw and mm-hmm. do anatomy and
blah, blah, blah. Right.
So I went to School of Visual Arts.
Right.
And then from there, I went into graphic arts.
Another steady career.
Right. Well, if you do it the right way.
I see.
I went into banking.
I don't understand.
I know. Nobody does. Bankers have to have presentations.
Oh, God, that's right.
Tons. First of all, I went into technical illustration.
Yes.
Which means I worked on the Polaris missile and Nike rocket.
Wow.
Back then. And that was sort of like, well, when the contract ran out for that particular project,
it was over.
People got axed.
Yeah, but right. Again, not steady.
I said, I can't do this. This is not my style. I said, banks don't pay that much.
But they pay it steady. Yeah, right.
Steady, get benefits, free
right.
lunch.
Right.
I said,
how did you know this?
Oh, well, because I had started with the bank.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's right. I see.
Then I went into technical illustration.
Right.
And then I said, well, gee, well, this bank thing looks pretty cool. Maybe I'll stick with this.
So are you saying you started going to banks saying, do you need a graphic artist?
Well, almost. Well, all banks have these type of departments, but
oh, yes,
not
right.
many people know about it. But one bank, the one I wound up with, was down on Wall Street, did not have this department.
Ah.
Did not have a department. So I had to sell them on me getting in.
You being the department.
Yeah. I said, this is what you need, because you don't have it here.
Wow.
And it took me about 6 months to convince them that I could bring to them into the 20th century, basically.
My goodness.
So I started this thing, and in no time, it was like the talk of the town at the bank. It was
right. Everybody wanted it, right?
Who the heck is this guy? You know, and it's like it was magic to them. They never saw stuff like this. Meanwhile, I had been doing this at this prior bank. So they said, this is great. So I stayed there mm-hmm. for about 27, 28 years.
Wow.
Meanwhile, still playing music. And as I played music, I got to know more and more professional players.
Right.
And it just became more professional. And, of course, I practiced my rear end off. I'm still practicing.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was always a very major part-time profession I had with the music.
Yeah.
But the bank is what gave me my new car, gave me my new house.
That's right,
Able to get married. Yeah. You know, so that was steady all the time. But so it winds up being I really had two professions.
Yeah. Well, yes, and two artistic professions.
Two artistic, right.
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 So, you know, so I say people who make their living or their life mm-hmm. with an art, you did both.
I did both.
You did both,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Like after I retired, I started playing piano full time, mostly restaurants and hotels.
In New York and New Jersey?
Both. Up to about maybe 5 years ago. But I played like at a Sheraton hotel in New Jersey for about 10 years.
So you had a second career?
Yeah, well, a second music career, because the gigs for horn players were dwindling.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm not going to stop playing. So I took lessons to play piano for about a year. And then from there, I said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I'm going to teach myself. And I taught myself to the point where I was able to make it a full-time gig. If it wasn't a restaurant, it was a country club. It wasn't a country club, it was a hotel.
So were you doing a single?
Yeah, single.
Phew, amazing.
Yeah, amazing. I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know how I did it. As usual, you know, because, you know, people say, I get piano players and drummers saying, how the hell did you do that, Frank? You're a sax player and you're playing piano? And the piano players really hate it.
They hate it, I'm sure they do.
Because I was a saxophone player, now you're taking my gig.
Yeah, that's right.
It's crazy. It's been a great ride as far as that goes. And still playing, meeting people like Gary Geary. When I showed up at the place he was playing, he played a song. Thank you very much for letting me sit in. He said, where are you going? I said, well, you want somebody else play? He said, no. And to stay, you know, and kept on playing. And he was just taking the way I played. And he just gave me so much confidence.
Wow.
And it's like, I just took it from there. I says, I guess I'm doing something right. They'll say, frankly, you really play nice. You're not playing good. But, and I ask them, what are you hearing? I don't know what's coming out. It's a very odd. And I heard this by some other musician said this. I says, oh, thank God I'm not crazy. I thought I was nuts saying that, you know, saying this. Because it was like, I put the horn in my mouth and then the saxophone plays.
Yes, I really understand it. It's going through you, right?
Yeah.
It's almost not intentional, not
exactly.
Conscious, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
So you have no way to evaluate it because you're not intending it.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
It's just, somebody's hearing it. So okay, he's here, but I'm just I don't know, a vehicle, you might say?
I do, yes. And I have heard this a lot.
You have?
Absolutely. Oh. And not just from musicians. I've heard it also from writers. The deeper you are into the thing, mm-hmm. the more you love it.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
The more you're at one with it.
Right, exactly, right? Yes.
It's
yes.
not conscious,
right?
Right,
right. I mean, when I'm playing, everything goes away. I don't even see anybody.
Yes.
It just comes in and I just play.
Yes.
And it's wonderful.
It's magic.
Yeah, it's magic.
I know, and it is wonderful.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's a gift that you got.
I guess
you,
so.
You
yeah.
know, right.
I've been cultivating since I was four.
Yes, exactly. Well, you fell in love when you were
yeah.
four.
Oh,
right. You fell in love when you were four. Okay, so this is what I heard you say, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. That even though you've been playing all your life, in a way, you got feedback here that said something to you that you didn't really know or hadn't heard before. Is that accurate?
It's a matter of thinking that you're on the right track of playing, and you're hoping that it sounds good, or trying to sound good, but you never really know.
No, but you've been
unless
playing.
Unless somebody comes to you and says, hey, that was great.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, what was great?
I know.
Are you talking about?
Whatever it was. Right.
Whatever. I mean, I was walking through the crowd the other night, and the only thing I heard was, oh, that was great. Oh, great. Nice playing. Great playing. And I sit down and say, what the heck did they hear? You know? And I mean, I feel great about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do. So, but all the other places that you played, when you played with bands.
I was working. It was a working thing. It wasn't a jazz listening. So it was like
part of the group, weren't you?
Yeah,
there
sure.
wasn't that.
There was a singer.
Right.
You know, and it was I was part of the band.
Right.
You know, but I always stuck out. I love these guys that I played with, you know, but it was more commercial. But then when I would take a solo, I would really take a solo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it wouldn't be just like, you know, the melody. Well,
yeah, right, right.
You know,
right.
Just,
I know.
So that was great, you know.
So have you ever had regret?
No, I don't think so. Because I've read a lot of books about people like Art Pepper, who was an alto sax player, Stan Getz,
mm-hmm.
tenor sax player, a lot of musicians from that era. And the road that they took was you know, doing a lot of drugs, you know,
yeah,
and booze, and their lives are cut short. Family lives are nil.
Yeah.
They're never home. I was on the road, you know, and that wasn't for me. I have found that over the years, I don't fit in with a lot of, because a lot of musicians are on a different track than me. You know, a lot of guys are, you know, smoking, doing weed, or drinking, you know.
Right.
And I'm the only thing I ever say when I want to leave a job, thanks for letting me play. I really do appreciate playing with guys. You know, good musicians.
Yeah. Okay, so I only have one more question.
Yeah, uh-oh.
Has it been uh-oh so far?
No.
Just think about what it was like to have as a constant in your life music and art.
Right.
And what would you say about that?
Well, I guess I'm glad I took the roads that I took.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still happy playing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to progress even more playing, because now I spend most of my waking hours playing music. I play piano also, and I play drums. Like we said before, I've always been conservative, I guess, in my career, to have a really solid home life.
So essentially what I hear you saying is that from 4 years old on,
right,
the music really owns you.
Yep.
You did a lot of other things.
Yeah,
you took care of a lot of things.
But this is it.
This is it.
I always was thinking, even on my day job, I was thinking, where am I working this weekend? That's where my brain was always at that. I mean, I did a bang-up job with the band.
I know, I'm sure. Know?
But the first love, it's it. I think I've figured it out, to me anyway. It's like an addiction.
Yes.
I mean, can you stop singing? You can't stop singing. I can't stop playing.
No, I sing all day long.
I mean, right, there you go. I mean, I'm at home, and if I just pass the piano, I have to sit down and play. It's nuts. But that's the way it is. I guess it's my whole being, really, is music. I can't read a book and listen to music, because I'm analyzing what the music is all about.
Right.
And now, what did you read? I forgot what I read. So I can't even do that. I have to do one or the other.
I got it. Yeah. I got it. Yeah. And that is a terrific place to stop.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Frank Escone. Oh,
it's my pleasure. It was great.
As I said, listening to people who make their living or their life with an art can be inspiring. And it is my hope that in listening to Frank, you are asking yourself, am I living the life I was meant to live? Do I feel so connected to the work I do, to the way I live my life, that it represents your whole being? Well, I hope you can. But if you can't, again, you want to talk to me about that, go up on my website. And as always, I hope that you got something from this show that you can use, something that inspired you, or something, as we are going out on Frank's music, that you just enjoyed, something that will bring you back, because as always, I will be back next week, same time, same station, and as always, I sure hope you will be too. Here's Frank playing You Go to My Head.
see I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage, let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes, I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. On singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have got to